glory and always give you the praise. So, Father, we thank you for it. And Father, as we minister the word tonight, we thank you for help. We thank you for change. We thank you for direction. We thank you for impartation. We thank you for encouragement. Thank you for correction if need be. And Lord, we thank you that the utterance will be from heaven tonight. It'll be spoken as the oracles of God. And Father, we will get our help. We'll get marching orders. We'll get instruction. And Father, we'll be changed tonight. Lord, you're only trying to help us. So Father, thank you, Lord, as I've waited on you this afternoon, Lord. You put something in my heart. And so, Father, I thank you. It's our help tonight. Thank you. It leads to better in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, in Mark, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I was just in prayer today and in before the Lord and worship and praise. And the woman with the issue of blood just kept coming up. Just kept coming up, coming up, coming up. I can't wait to meet her. Amen. She's in my top five for faith people, you know. Just so much you can learn from this woman. And I just love her attitude. I love her spirit. I love her determination. I love her grit. And let's see what the Lord wants to say tonight. So in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Behold thy plagues.'" I don't really have a lot of direction here except for what the Holy Ghost just gave me, so I'll follow that. And then we'll go to the next thing. But this is what I heard as I was reading that in verse 27. The Bible said, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. It matters what you're hearing. It matters what you're hearing. You know, the Bible says through Jesus, he said, take heed what you're hearing. You know, it's important that you're not accidentally hearing. That you're on purpose hearing. And what I mean by that is the hearing gets the ball rolling. And had she never heard, she never would have had. It all started when she heard of Jesus. Had she never heard of Jesus, had she not known, her condition, her situation would have never changed. We know that the Bible says that faith cometh. And Jesus came, ended up saying to her, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." Yeah. And that seems to be where we're going to slide into next. But anyways, he said, when she heard, then something happened. And then Jesus said it was faith. But faith didn't happen without the hearing. And it's so important that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, it's important that you're hearing and hearing and hearing your answer. Because I'll just use finances for an example. I've found that my checkbook can talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Can your checkbook talk?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever found that your bills have a big mouth?
Yeah.
Have you ever found that your car payment just won't shut up? Have you ever found that your mortgage or your rent or your hospital bills, man, they just have a yapper on them, don't they? And they're talking, and they're talking, and they're talking. And we know this, that the Bible said in Mark chapter 11 that Jesus answered the fig tree. He answered the fig tree. Well, when you answer somebody, it's because they first said something. Well, remember Jesus saw the fig tree in Mark 11 and he was hungry, but and it had leaves on it, but there was not figs yet. And you know what that fig tree was saying? I'm a poverty fig tree. I'm a lack fig tree. You're not going to get anything from me, Jesus. And Jesus answered it. But my point is it had a mouth. And it was talking to him. And it was saying something. And your body will talk to you. And you'll hear what your body says. And your finances will talk to you, and you'll hear what they say. And your circumstances will talk to you, and you'll hear what they say. But the problem is, if that's all you're hearing, that's where your faith's going to be. And so it's important on purpose. I just today had a person email me, and they were talking about, you know, I was so proud of them. They stood their ground. They had went through a tough time yesterday. They stood their ground and got through that day. But there's a bigger problem on a grander scale. Yeah, that maybe that symptom was subsided that day and the anointing helped that day. But there's a bigger issue of healing that needs to be received for this person. It was a person from South Dayton. And so I sent them a laundry list of healing scriptures. Amen. And what the Word says on healing, because that situation and that bodily condition is always saying something. I don't know about you, but these things seem to never shut up, you know, especially when the pressure's on. And so it's important that you're hearing. So you need to make it a point, because what the end result was, Jesus said, hey, we know he had the anointing. We know he had power, but he said, hey, because of your faith, you got this. Well, you don't get to the faith part of the receiving part without the hearing part. And so many times people take such little time in the hearing and they don't, you know, I'll just say it this way. When I went through that financial test and trial to get myself into a place of faith, I listened nonstop to the Word on finances. I didn't listen to the Word nonstop on healing. I didn't listen to the Word nonstop on righteousness, on forgiveness. No. The area that was talking to me, I needed to get louder in the Word in it to get the faith in me. So it's important what you're hearing. What are you hearing? When you're in the fight of your life and you're in a test, you need to be building your faith. And the way you do that is through the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And I want you to see in verse 35, he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Now, what's awesome about that is we see a dire situation turned around and straightened out by faith. Faith is the answer. You, as a student and a child of God, a student of the Word, should choose faith.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Endeavor to be a faith student. Endeavor to grow in the principles of faith. Why? Because there's certain things in your life that force can move, that force can change, that force can turn. Had she not been in faith, how do we know? Well, the multitudes were thronging him. Many Christians are thronging him. Many Christians are crying out. Many Christians are desperately pleading, help me, Lord. And there's no doubt other people were thronging him because they had heard of him. But evidently they didn't do the right thing with what they heard. Amen? Maybe other things were louder. Maybe they didn't take heed to what they heard to get him into that line to throng after him. But the Bible mentions, now you might say, well, the Bible just left out that other people received. They just point out the woman. No, people were thronging him, but there was one specific touch that Jesus stopped and said something was just different. Yeah. Something flowed out of me.
Yeah. Good.
And then what did he credit to? He credited her faith, but her faith made a draw on the power of God that changed that situation.
Yeah.
And you got to become a student of faith, because multitudes are thronging him, but not everybody's making withdrawals and getting deposits from God. The way you do that is by faith. I remember getting saved in January of 2002, coming into the church, not knowing anything, having just a mess of things in my life, physically, financially, emotionally, mentally, addictions, things like that, and not knowing anything, and coming into Pastor Michael's church, starting to learn the Word of God, starting to hear him talk about a man by the name of Brother Hagin, starting to get Brother Hagin books into my life, and starting to read Brother Hagin's testimony and to see what faith can do. Remember, Brother Hagin was just a Baptist boy with an incurable heart condition, pretty much laying paralyzed on a bed, left for dead pretty much. And, you know, he'd have ministers come in and or ministers not come in, either not come in or they would come in and they would just speak doubt over him and pray basically for his getting ready to die. And so it's interesting here. He's just laying there, sick. Well, child of God, he's born again, you know. And he comes across Mark 11, verse 24. Can we go to Mark 11, 24? Mark 11, 24. He comes across Mark 11, 24, and it says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Amen. He said, the words came off the page, Adam. Yeah. It's like the first time I read this verse, the words came off the page to me. And I remember the first time that I really put this into practice, and I've used this example many times, but I've used the same principles from the very first time I can remember this working for me to this week. Wow. And it's working for me. Yeah. I remember in Bible school, you know, when I went to Bible school and took that step of faith and went to Bible school, I didn't have anybody supporting me financially. I didn't have anybody, nobody wanted to help me. I was very no integrity, no character before I went there. So everybody thought I was just doing another Mikey whim, you know, just out of whim, going to be a preacher. Ooh, yeah. What now? What we've heard him talk about all these different things, you know. But I was serious this time. I actually had a change. And so I got there. You know, my truck broke down. You know the story. I needed to pay my tuition, and I needed $300. It was on a monthly tuition. And I needed $300. I didn't have it. I had to pay for my truck. The money that I did make from working and paid for my truck so I could get to school. Well, I didn't have the money, and they needed the money, and they were very strict there about paying it because, you know, a lot of times people take advantage of Christians. Yeah. Yeah. We ought not take advantage of Christians. Right. Amen? In fact, the Bible says we ought to do the best to Christians. Not that we should lack and be miserable towards the world, but we talked about this Sunday in South Dayton. We're the family of God. Yes. We're children of God. The Bible says to do good unto those, especially of the household of faith, especially the ones that are brothers and sisters, we ought to be good to. And a lot of people, you know, in a Bible school, they would say, well, they'll just forgive, they're okay, they'll just be merciful and take advantage of them. So Rhema, the way they were strict, said, you got to pay this on time. You would have to do it at a normal college. You have to pay your tuition and things. And so I was sick of not being integrity. I was sick of not following through with my word. I signed up. I told them I'd pay them. I was sick of it, you know, and so I didn't know what to do. And I was at that Faith Bible School, and I remembered the stories that Pastor Michael told and learned about Brother Hagin. I saw this verse. I thought, wow, I remember Brother Hagin on the bed of sickness. And it jumped off the page to him, and he read that, and he broke that down. He said, whatsoever things you desire. And he thought, man, Lord, I don't desire to die young. I don't desire to be sick anymore. I don't desire to not be able to be up and about and do things like a normal young man. I desire it. So far, I like this verse so far. Well, I didn't desire to not be able to pay my tuition. I didn't desire to not have enough money. Okay, so that's the first thing. This is whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Well, that's easy enough. Just pray. Talking to God, right, about it. So he started talking to God about his physical condition. I started talking to God about my money. I said, Lord, you know, you didn't call me here to struggle. You didn't call me here to not make it. But then it said that when you pray goes along with the next part of the verse. Believe you receive. Now, here's the important thing. This is what makes it faith. Believe you receive. It didn't, but now you have to find out when do you have to believe or receive? It says, when you pray, believe you receive. Now, this is what makes it faith. When I'm praying for the $300 that I need, that I'm desiring, when he's praying for his physical condition to change, he's laying there with an incurable heart disease feeling the symptoms. When I'm praying for the $300, it's because it's not in my wallet. It's because it's not in my bank account. So what makes it faith? Because faith is of the unseen realm. You are to believe it, be sold out, be convinced, be persuaded the moment you pray for it. Well, that's where he got stumbled up. That's where most Christians get stumbled up. And so he prayed, and he as much as he knew, believed God that he received his healing. As much as he knew, Lord, I desire it, I believe it, and I ask you for it, I believe, receive it. Well, as he started going, I noticed nothing was really changing. And that kept jumping off the page of believe you receive, believe you receive, believe you receive, believe you receive. Well, if you believe you received, you talk different. If you believe you received, there'd be corresponding actions, because faith without works is dead. And so you could read his testimony, but he started just doing anything he could, extra, you know, and he started to get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and a little better. And then he just went all over the world telling his testimony. Well, I desired that money. I prayed, and I knew I had to believe I receive it. So I got myself so stirred up. Lord, you didn't send me here to struggle. Where you guide, you provide. Where you lead, you meet the need. You know, all those good things that you live by. At least I live by them anyways, because they're true. And I got so stirred up that I said, Lord, I thank you. I believe right now. I believe right now I receive that $300. I thank you for it. And I thank you I'm not going to have to go up there with my tail between my legs and be all nervous. And then because I believed it, you know what I did? I rejoiced. Because when you actually have it manifested, you're going to rejoice. So if you're supposed to believe it before, you'd be rejoicing. Let me tell you something. If you're not rejoicing over what you can't see, you're not in faith. You're not. You're not in faith. If you're not rejoicing over what you can't see right now, you're not in faith, because rejoicing in praise is the voice of faith. And a way to check up on yourself, am I worshiping God? And I'll tell you what, in that, and Brother Hagee did that from his deathbed, the bed of sickness. Father, I thank you I'm healed. I thank you I'm healed. Well, the natural doesn't say it. The physical doesn't say it, but he believed it. Well, I praised God at that apartment. Amen. That I received that money. Thank you, Lord, I received that money. Now, wouldn't you know that that little voice is still there talking, and that pressure's still there, but that's okay. You got to get good at ignoring the devil. You can't stop him from talking, but you certainly can stop from believing what he says. Brother Hagin would say it this way: you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop the talking of the devil, but you don't have to let him build a nest in your head. You be quiet. I'm just going to keep praising my focus on God. And of course, oh, that money's not going to come. What happens if that money doesn't come? Oh, no, I thank you, Lord. I receive it. According to your word, I receive that money. Remember, so much so that I had the Cabela's magazine on the back of the toilet? I did. And I walked in the bathroom. I looked at that magazine. I said, Lord, I knew he wouldn't do this. He doesn't have money in heaven. But I said, Lord, I believe it so much I could wake up in the next morning and I wouldn't be surprised. I knew it wouldn't be in there. That's how he's not going to do it. But I said, I wouldn't be surprised if that money was in there. That's how much I believe it. Amen. Of course, I woke up the next morning and checked. Knew it wasn't going to be there, but I just laughed at myself, you know, but I was rejoicing. Amen. I was rejoicing. Why? I believed I received it. Amen. Amen. Do you believe you receive what you're believing for? Amen. If you do, you'll be talking different. If you do, you'll be rejoicing. Amen. And why do we need that? Because Jesus told her your faith. And didn't she exercise her faith? She sure did. What'd she say? I just got to touch him. Yeah. If I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. She was giving action to her faith. Yeah. She's going towards him in the press, not healed, still with that condition, but she's saying, all I need to do is touch him and it's over. It's over when I touch him. And her actions showed pressing through that crowd. And so you got to be in faith. Why? The multitudes were thronging him. No doubt there were other people with conditions, right? You get a multitude of people together, you get a multitude of stuff, right? And not everybody got from him, but the one that was in faith. You have to endeavor, be a faith person. Study the faith scriptures. Every day, meditate in faith. Every day, there's not hardly a day that will go by that I won't think of Abraham or look at Abraham's story. Because Abraham is such a picture of what we need to do. Abraham is such a picture, right? The Bible says he considered not his own body, now dead. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what was the body and the womb doing? Talk. And I just meditate on that because what happens a lot of times with our situations is the natural is so real. The numbers are there when we do our bills and the checkbook, and the numbers don't lie. They're real, right? You know, the numbers say you have $100 in the bank account. You don't go to the bank and try to withdraw $1,000 because the numbers don't lie. The symptoms in your body, the doctor's reports, they don't lie, right? But the Bible says you are required to believe it. For you to be in faith, you got to believe it while the numbers don't line up, while the pressure's in your body. You got to believe it. So you got to endeavor. You don't just wake up one day and be an A-plus student in faith. It takes your work to do that. It takes you hearing, takes you studying, takes you being in the Word, meditating on faith, going over the principles of faith. But I'll tell you what, endeavor to be a faith student. Why? It'll turn anything around in your life. It'll move any mountain in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's go on here. Go back to Mark chapter 5. One thing I want you to see was in verse 27. When she heard, she came in the press. Now, why am I saying that? She was the catalyst to her change. Don't take this the wrong way. If you want something different in your life, do something about it. Jesus didn't go to her house. Jesus didn't park the crowd for her. Jesus didn't call her up to the front. God didn't give Jesus a word of knowledge that there was a woman there that had suffered for 12 years, was anemic and was weak and spent all her money and she doesn't have any, you know, she's not getting any better, she's worse and it's going to be hard for her to get to the crowd and she can't touch people because she's got this blood condition. No. She was the catalyst for her own change. She did something. She did something that sparked the fire, that sparked the change. I love that. Let's read that again in verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. It's not pastor's job to be the catalyst of change in your life. Now, I'm here pep talking to you and infusing into you and motivating you, getting you fired up. But if you want change, Jesus was not the one responsible for the change. She came in the press. She touched his garments. If you want something different in your life, do something about it. But let me caution you with this as it comes up out of my heart. If you do the same thing or do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you always got. It's the truth. Just piddle around with the Word, you know, on a Saturday night, occasional Tuesdays, don't touch the Word all week. Okay, well then you'll get according to that. According to you, the measure you put in is what the measure you'll get out. I'm not one of these people that go to guest minister meetings. Okay, that's fine. But there's something there for you to receive. I don't have them in for the heck of it. Amen. This will bring me to my last point, or my next point. She sparked her own fire. You got to stir yourself up. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? It says, or 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he that prays in an unknown tongue is edified or built up. You want to be edified? Pray. You want to be edified? You pray. Praise God. The doer of the word will be blessed. Who does the word? You do the word. Praise God. Nobody's going to do it for you. That's one thing I love about Christianity. It's my blessing rises and falls with me. You can't take it away from me. The devil can't take it away from me. Unlike baseball, you know, the rest of the team could do terrible. I could do great. We wouldn't win. You know, it's true. Tennis players can't say that. Golfers can't say that. That's the sports I should have played. Because then I could either be mad at myself or help myself win, you know. But she sparked it. But you got it. What did she do? She did something different. Yeah. Got out of her house and did something different. Went and pressed through that thing. I want to say this, and this maybe where we'll camp out here for the rest of the night. This woman, like so many Christians that are not willing to do, was willing to be completely inconvenienced. Notice this. To get her blessing, it had to go through uncomfortableness. Had to go through inconvenience. Had to go through sacrifice. It did. We don't realize the level of sacrifice and inconvenience. See, because don't get mad at me for my utterance that comes out tonight. Some people hear guest minister in South Dayton and they instantly think an hour drive. And I think, oh, then you must not want what you got to get rid of bad enough if an hour drive is what keeps you from the anointing of the pastor saying that this ministry has miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, I'll have to go to bed a little later. Say what? I'm just telling you. Now listen to me. What I tell you on Wednesday, Saturday night, and I wasn't trying to be mean, whether people avail themselves to this kind of things or not, I don't give a rip. It doesn't change my life. I'm going to always avail myself to these things, and I'm going to always keep having testimonies. All the time, I'm going to keep having testimonies. Hallelujah. I remember sacrificing and going to a Dr. Dufresne conference in Canton, Ohio, and the church was humongous there, Word of Faith Church. Just, and I'm not a preacher, so before I'm ministering, but I have it on my heart to minister, to be a preacher. Pastor Tim's sitting next to me, and he's not a minister yet. We both went there, sacrifice, you know, drive to Canton, Ohio to go to church. People won't even drive to South Dayton. Some people won't even drive to Allegheny, and they live here. And I went there, and Dr. Dufresne, that prophetic anointing, was preaching, and it got over into the Holy Ghost started moving in the church and ministered. Well, I mean, there's probably 1,000 people in this church. It was just humongous, and there's section after section after section. He comes over to Pastor Tim and I out of the whole crowd, walks behind Pastor Tim and I, takes his hand, smacks us both on the head. We both fall out under the power of God on the floor, and he says to us, "Now you and you preach the word. Amen. Preach the word." He picked that up. Now, let me tell you something. Do you know what that did for a young up-and-coming minister? Amen. To get confirmation from the prophet of God? Amen. A touch from heaven, praise God. But a lot of people won't inconvenience themselves. Why do I say that? Because we have opportunities this month, you know, with Pastor Nancy and the Durant. I mean, anointings that just are such a blessing, you know. People are unwilling to even come to church and be faithful, you know. But they want God to move. Well, Jesus didn't track her down. In fact, you could say it this way. You could actually take it a step further. She was willing to be inconvenienced to be in the right place. Because the anointing was in the right place, or was in a place. The anointing was not in her house. The anointing was not in her backyard. She had to inconvenience herself to get to where the anointing was. And I bet you she didn't regret it. And we think of how hard and difficult these things are. You know, you see it all over the Bible. That woman in 1 Kings chapter 17, to get to her manifestation, had to severely inconvenience herself by giving her last meal to the prophet. Abraham, you look at the blessing that came after Abraham brought his son up to kill him. All these things that were lined up, your family blessed, I'll bless you, I'll bless your family, I'll bless those that are attached to you. Your seed will possess the gate of your enemies. All these blessings, he said, because You obeyed my voice. Well, to get to that part, what did he have to do? Severely inconvenience himself. So many people want the McDonald's blessing. Just real quick, don't have to do anything for it. Just pull up and get it. But we don't see that principle in the Word. We see blind Bartimaeus having to go through people, telling them to be quiet. We see the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15 being told, stop talking to Jesus. Leave him alone. You're a dog. You're not the children's bread. We don't cast bread to the dogs. We see her pressing through, pressing through. We have to be willing to be inconvenienced. Go with me real quick to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 14. Actually, verse 13. He says, brethren, I don't count myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now notice this. Reaching. I think the amplified in that word reaching, you look it up, is the word straining. To go into what God has for you, he didn't say, I just, like a water slide, just slip right down in and fall into that pool of blessing. He says, I got to reach for it. I got to strain for it. And then he said this, in verse 14, I press. I press. What did the woman have to go through when she came through the press? You know what we have to get through the press of a lot of times? Casualness, apathy, lethargic, laziness, fear, worry. Press through these things. But we got to press, we got to press, we got to press. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to get there unless we press. What's that mean? To get to where God has for you. Now, let me give you a great example. Give you a quick example. We will have guest ministers here. Amen. We will. I'm working on behind the scenes already. We'll have extended meetings of guest ministers. Amen. But so many people are so quick to absolutely dismiss that Pastor Nancy's in town and that the Durants are in town, South Dayton, because of where they're at. Well, why? Because it's an inconvenience. Because it's hard. Well, yeah, but we see when people did something that was hard and inconvenient and were hungry enough to press through, they were rewarded. They were rewarded. Praise God. What am I trying to do? Just pull you up higher. Because again, it doesn't affect my life. I love you. I want you blessed. When you're not blessed as much as you could be, what am I saying? We know that we studied last week a visitation from God as ministers with gifts. I mean, some of the things that they were telling me on the phone, I was like, the office that I'm most thrilled with to watch in operation as it's operating, the pastor's office is the one the sheep needs the most, but it's not as dramatic, and it's more of a as a whole type thing. Whereas the prophet's office, sometimes I'll be in a service in church, and I know everybody's business because I deal with the sheep. And I'll hear the prophet start hitting on things that I don't talk to him about. I don't tell him anything when they come in. We have a deal. I don't say anything. Why? Because everything needs to be of heaven. I remember one time the Durants, just to give you an idea. Is this all right? I'm just kind of hitting different things. The Durants were in the old sanctuary at South Dayton. And there was a young woman. And her and her sister and family had come. And they just kind of started to get annoyed and offended at the word of God. You know, the word will do that to you. If you don't have a pure heart for the word, it'll offend you. And they're starting to talk bad about me behind my back. And the one girl's serving, the one girl's not. And they're, you know, kind of planning to leave. And they're to my face, sweet, but behind closed doors. And it's not good and things. And Sister Annie's preaching. And she stands in that office of the prophet. And Sister Annie's preaching, and all of a sudden, she's like Brother Kevin did that one night, that prophetic office kicks in, and she walks back to this, the one girl that's getting ready to leave the church. And, well, before she does that, she starts prophesying about somebody here that's getting ready to leave this church. Well, I knew exactly who she's talking about, and I kind of just, the way I was sitting without turning and staring, I was able to glance at this person, and they were sitting there stone-faced, like they weren't going to let on that it was them. And she's warning about what will happen. And she stops her message, and she turns her microphone off, and she goes, and she gets down on one knee right in front of this girl and starts ministering, and the tears just start flowing out of this girl because she's reading her mail. Yeah. See, here's the thing. The Lord said that I give unto you apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting, the equipping, the furnishing. These gifts and mantles and anointings come into our midst maybe out of a year's time, maybe 4 or 5 times a year. Right? We get them. We already established on Saturday night, they're not as needed as the pastor's office on a week to week. They're just not as. Jesus didn't say, we say, what do you mean they're not as needed? Jesus didn't say you're scattered and faint without apostle.
Yeah. Sure.
But they have things on their life to fill the voids that the pastor can't.
Yeah.
That will bring us higher and greater. So they come in the family churches, a certain amount of time. And with them, they bring their equipment,
amen,
their anointings, that prophetic office, that apostle, that power, that evangelist. They bring that with them. And then, real quick, yeah, go to Romans chapter 1. Let me tell you why. I have to thank for the Holy Ghost right now.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Let me tell you why. Live stream is not always just, live stream's not meant to be your fallback when you don't feel like pressing.
Amen.
When you don't feel like inconveniencing yourself, because there will be something missed. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Paul said in Romans 1 verse 11, for I long to see you. My pastor used to always say, tell me to be in his meetings. He'd say, because Pastor Mike, I need to see you face to face. There's something that's transmitted. An exchange. I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Now think about that girl sitting in South Dayton that got that word. If she doesn't go, she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Right? If she doesn't see her and impart that doesn't get imparted to her. If I don't make the appointment, now listen, we all understand. Listen, I'm not talking about times, I'm talking about when casualness, laziness. I'm not talking about times when you absolutely cannot be there. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. Because when you absolutely can't be there, now, oh man. Go to Luke 10. I'm just going to have to do it. Oh Lord. Holy Ghost. Here I thought we were just going to get done quick and be a nice little faith message. You know why people need to see these things? Because it's in this is where the correction comes. It's where the adjustments come. Praise God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, now as it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. The anointing is in her very home and she can't even get there, yet alone drive in an hour. Right? But the anointing's in her home. And Jesus answered, don't you care that she's left me to serve alone? Martha was cumbered about much serving. Don't you care, Lord, left me to serve alone? Jesus answered, said to her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary chose that good part and not be taken away from her. Well, what did Mary choose? To be under the anointing, to be under the word, to hear the word, to be under that watering, to be in that face-to-face encounter. Now, here's my point, because you can take this and get into a ditch of legalism and say, oh my gosh, if I miss a service, I could miss the thing I need the most. Yeah, if you're lazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if you're casual. But the Lord also knows, will you pull up Matthew 5, 6 real quick, Kim Lai, so don't forget to go there. I'm going to go there next. But the Lord knows when you absolutely can't be there. But you know what? He doesn't understand. If he didn't go to the woman's house who was sick for 12 years, had no more money, was weak, and thought, you know what? For her to get this, she's going to have to do something.
Yeah.
If you absolutely can't be in church, there's absolutely extenuating circumstances, which we see in with the situation with Mary and Martha. I'm sorry, but busyness doesn't count. Busyness is not his problem. That's your problem that you've not prioritized the right way. Because if we're too busy for the anointing and our visitation and to be where God's called us to be, that's not a him problem. He said, Martha, that's a you problem. I'm not changing for you, Martha. So that doesn't count as an excuse. Well, I'm just too busy. Why are you too busy for God? Why are these other things? When Matthew 6:33 says, seek first him. What I'm trying to say is, all throughout the years, from being faithful to be in church and in my appointments with God and under the anointing, I've received from him. I've received things that absolutely turned situations around, that gave me confirmation, that spoke answers to me. And it was only because I was there.
Amen.
You know, we use that example because I know a lot of times you think, well, pastor, of course, you're going to get ministered to. I'm talking about times where I wasn't a pastor. Or I wasn't sitting on the front row with a name card underneath my rear end that said Reverend Mike Henderson. Talking about sitting in the middle of, you know, the sea of people and the prophet comes over because I'm hungry enough to go.
Amen.
Brother Kevin calling me out in a service. Now think about this for a second. I had to press to get into that service that Brother Kevin, you know, stopped preaching. The man that's going to be here on Saturday stopped preaching years ago in 2002 when I was a young man crying out to God, I want more of you, I want more of you. And he picks it up and calls me and says, you want more of God? But I had to press to get to those meetings. Now, I didn't have to drive far, but the thoughts of all that was encountering my little brain, and when I say little, I mean little brain, just flooded me of what is this laying on of hands? What is this tongues? What is this rejoicing? What is this shouting in church? Press through that stuff. Inconvenienced myself, and I had something that changed my life, and I'm still talking about to this day. I was talking to him about it the other day on the phone. Because he was telling me about the prophetic moves that they've had in their services, and their pastors come up, and different things that were spoken about, and I'm like, oh, I love that office. I love that office. That's what I was saying. I love watching that office operate. Now, don't miss... I'll get to the other verse here in a second. Don't miss that office in operation if you don't get a specific, hey, Jake, come up, or hey, Jacob, come up, or hey, Margaret, come up. In fact, Brother Hagin would do that little in his prophetic office, like Reverend Randy Greer. He flows a lot like Brother Hagin, comes through the preaching and teaching, where different topics are hit. Why? Because someone needed that. Because this topic was hit because someone needed that correction. That's that office in operation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, am I saying that you can't receive from live stream? No, live stream's a great tool. It's a great supplement, right? But there's the face-to-face impartation that Paul said. Because, and my pastor would say, when you're there, Pastor Mike, things then start to operate.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But there is times, you know, but it's not because of casualness. If you say, I just, you know, I don't feel like sacrificing, that's a problem. What is the reason that keeps people from being faithful in church? I don't know, but what are the reasons? Think about them. What is the reasons that will keep somebody? I saw my hands. And I saw Jesus' hands in the sense that, not, I didn't see him, but don't misunderstand me, I didn't have a vision of Jesus, but in my spirit I just saw the hands of Jesus, and I thought to myself, he gave gifts to men, and people are going to have to stand before the one with the holes in their hands because he was so willing to be inconvenienced, and we don't want to stay up a little late, or we don't want to sacrifice the gas money or make a drive to be under the anointing where things are broken and words are given and answers are given and help is given. It's going to be hard to stand in front of him and say, I just didn't have time, Lord. I just was too busy, Jesus. I just didn't feel like it. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Look at this. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. Do you know that if you, I don't know about you, but it takes me about, let's see, if I ate dinner yesterday, by about, really, you know, you can get a little hungry in the morning, but by lunchtime, I'm starting to really feel it. And if I didn't eat, don't eat dinner, you really start to feel it. If you go a whole day without eating, you get really hungry. And then the longer you go, you know, I know the hunger does eventually, it does subside, you know, but eventually you could starve to death. Yeah. A person that is starving is hungry. A person that's dying of thirst, they're thirsty. Yeah. And if someone said, I got a meal for you an hour away, I'd say, let's go. I'm hungry. We have all the water you could ever need that you haven't drank in 2-3 days, and you're parched and you just feel like you can't go on. All you got to do is drive an hour. Let's get in the car and let's go. Amen. That's natural hunger. Yeah. But people lack spiritual hunger, the thing that will bless them the most. I don't want to come out to a service. I don't want to stay up late. I don't want to sacrifice. But we only get, but that's my point, ladies and gentlemen. We only get a few shots a year, which number one tells you it's not even that great of a sacrifice. It's not. Oh, let me tell you something. Are you ready? Should we just keep sweeping it up? If somebody said, hey, I got a $500 shopping spree for you. Free $500. You have to go spend it on yourself at the mall. But the mall's an hour away. Guess what you're going to be doing? Driving to the mall. Why would you drive to the mall? Because you have a great revelation of that $500. Why is driving an hour and staying up late? You'd stay up late to shop for yourself with free $500. You would. You'd drive that hour if you hadn't ate for 5-6 days to get a meal if it was your only option. Why? You have a revelation of these natural things, but these spiritual things, we lack the revelation. That's why you're pastor. I'm not mad at you when you don't go. I'm not mad if you don't go at all. I'm not. You know I've never come down on anybody for missing church and not being faithful. No, I never will. But it's my job to preach truth and to pull you up higher. And under the anointing is when there's more boldness that comes out. But why do I harp and harp and harp? Because something's harping, 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 saying, don't go, don't go. You don't need to go. Don't be there. When I'm telling you as your pastor, if you'll submit to the watering of the word, step up and be hungry and thirst after righteousness, after God's things. We're hungry for people things. We go to our jobs every day. We send our kids to school every day. And we're unfaithful to church. Unfaithful for God appointments. We won't miss our doctor's appointment. We won't miss our hair appointment. We won't miss X, Y, and Z. But we'll miss our God appointments. And we're missing those. And you're also missing out. You're also missing out. Praise God. Hunger and thirst. Think about this. Why do almost twice a year, almost every year, do I pay good money to fly all the way across country to be in Pastor Nancy's meetings? If I go or don't go, I don't get like a stipend for going. It costs me money, costs me time away from my family. Why do I go? Because Pastor Mike realizes a plane trip across the country is worth what I'm going to get. Being away from my family is worth what I'm going to get. Amen. It's true. Praise God. Why do I go to these conferences? Why do I make sure I'm in these meetings? Say, well, you have to be your pastor. No, nobody requires me to go. I don't have to go. I'm just saying that there's these anointings, these mantles, these giftings that are here to bring you higher, take you to places you can't go yourself, and we let the smallest, stupidest, pettiest things keep us out. When we see precedent in the Bible, it's the hungry and the thirsty that are satisfied and filled. It's the woman that would press that's going to be receiving. It's the people that would go through inconvenience. It's the people that would sacrifice. The people that would say, Lord, this is your will. This is your plan. I dare you to ask God, should I be there, Lord? I dare you to do it. You might not want to if you don't want to hear an answer. It's kind of like the people that fight me on alcohol. I don't know if you drink here or not, but they fight me on it. They come up with all their little ways, and I say, hey, I don't care what you want to say. What does the Holy Ghost say to you? I dare you to take that alcohol to the Lord in prayer and ask Him, Lord, how do you feel about this? Because it ain't about what you can try to make the word say and twist things. And listen, we're not trying to get away with stuff. We're trying to follow the word. The Bible does not say not to punch my wife in the face. There's not scripture on that. But the Holy Ghost lets me know, don't punch her in the face. I'm just saying. It doesn't tell. There's no specific scriptures that say, certain things about my children, certain things about my bills, certain things about my creditors. No, but there's certain things that we might not have a scripture exactly spelled out, but the Holy Ghost. And some people are just trying to get away with things. What does the Lord think about these meetings? What does the Lord think? What does the Lord think? Amen. What's Jesus' take on it? He gave gifts to men. The first thing he did is gave gifts to men. Well, it's like the person that, I'm going to close down here. It's like the person that they were going to leave the church years ago. And they told me where they were going. They were offended about money. They had a young college-age kid who got into New Age Christianity. There's no such thing as New Age Christianity. It's all old school Christianity. Amen? It's always here. And he got into it, got his parents all mixed up, and they were so faithful. And they weren't faithful anymore. And I said, where you're going, I said, they never have prophets in. They don't believe in the prophet's office. Where you're going, they don't have apostles in. They don't think apostles still exist. Where you're going, they don't have true evangelists. Now, they think they have evangelists, but biblical evangelists also have miracle signs. An evangelist isn't someone who just goes around preaching the gospel. A true biblical evangelist has miracle signs and wonders that follow him. I said, you're not going to have those there. What are you going to do? Didn't care. Why? It's a lack of revelation. But see, until you do something that you've never done before, you're always going to get what you've always gotten, which is what? You're going to hear Pastor Mike say, the next guest minister meetings that come up, you should be there. It's going to be great. You'll get something. But you can't testify and say amen because the last set of meetings you didn't listen to me. And there was something that was left there, just like Jesus would have went right through her town and taken his anointing with him, and she'd have stayed in her house sick for 12 years and one day, 12 years and 2 days. Because she didn't inconvenience herself, and she stepped out in faith, and yeah, that's good. Praise the Lord, Brandy, that's good input. Fired me up. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I know you didn't mean to do that, but that makes me want to kick something. Because it just got through me, I don't know. Just fired up. Are you trying to get me to shut up is what you're... Because usually when I say you're dismissed, she hits the play button. She's like, I had enough of this. I'm just kidding. But Jesus would have went right through the town. What's waiting for you? What's waiting? And you say, well, do I have to go one night? Do I have to go two? Why would we even entertain that thought? We're where we're supposed to be. We go where we're supposed to be. And inconvenience and laziness and casualness and busyness are not excuses. They're not excuses. Your bedtime's not an excuse. Nails, holes, thorns. Amen. God's got something for you, people. That's what I'm trying to say. God has something for you. And I'm not just talking about these guest minister meetings. Yeah. And I'm not going to look at you cross-eyed if you don't go. Yeah. Come in and say, what's wrong with you? No. But we're talking about church. Yeah. The pastoral's office, right? We looked at the pastoral's office last week. Many people don't receive from that because they're not here to receive from it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Well, this was a different service, but anyways, we were stirred.
Amen.
Shake, rattle, and rolled you a little bit.
Glory.
Father, we love you. And we praise you. And we magnify you. And we glorify you. And we honor you. And we bless you. Yeah. Yeah. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I don't know why this is coming up in my spirit, but this, I just got a word from the Holy Ghost to say this. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. Now, yeah, okay, I'll say that, Father. You stopped becoming a victim when you became a child of God. You became victorious. You're not a victim anymore. That's not to discount that you've gone through things. But don't accept in your mind you're a victim, because victims respond differently than victors do. And the greater one dwells on the inside of you. You're more than a conqueror. Don't let that hold you down. Rise above those thoughts. Rise above those accusations. And take authority and take control. And turn that thing upside down, praise God, through faith. Hallelujah. I don't know specifically who that's for. The Lord did not show me. But He said, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. Hallelujah. How many of you know you're not a sinner either? You're the righteousness of God. How many of you know you're not the sick either? You're the healed of the Lord. How many of you know you're not broke? You're rich, the Bible says. How many of you know you're not depressed? You're the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Start calling those things which be not as though they are. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Father. We received that. Start having victor mentality. Start having a conquering mentality. Yeah, the devil would love to pull you back there. And that's, again, not to justify or to belittle what you've gone through. But Paul said, I forget those things which are behind and I press. It's time to press out of that mentality, because the victim mentality will keep you down, but the victor mentality will call you to rise up.
Amen.
It'll rise you up high. Praise God. Father, thank you for that. We receive that tonight. We receive that tonight. We're made for this. Praise God. We got something on the inside of us that's fighting spirit. Praise the Lord. We worship you. Let's just praise Him tonight and worship Him and thank Him. Thank him for the move of the Holy Ghost. All the different things that were said tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Open on this gate. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Worship and magnify your name. Glorify your name. Honor your name. Bless your name. Praise your name, Jesus. We worship you. I'm not trying to draw this out. I just don't have a release yet. Oh, Father, we praise you. We bless 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 you. We honor you. And we glorify you. Yeah. 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 Linda, do you mind coming forward so I can minister to you? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, of course, I do know some things naturally, but wasn't thinking about you when this came up out of my heart. But God wants to move you into some things, Linda. Things that are Ephesians type 3 type 20 things that you never even thought were possible for your life, that you never even thought were capable for your life, above what you could ever ask or think. But to get you into those things, you got to trust Him more. He He says, you got to trust me more. You got to trust me more. You got to trust me more. You need to start developing that trust in him. He loves you so much, Linda. He loves you as his daughter. He loves you so much, cares about you, wants to bring you into some things. But in order to get into those things, you're going to have to trust him more. So from this point forward, going forward, you need to get into the word concerning who he is, his faithfulness, how strong he is, how he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you need verses, I'll be happy to give them to you. But these things will be lost, and these things will go unreceived if you don't first go through this avenue of trust. Because some of the things that he's going to ask you to do, like think about Abraham. You know why Abraham was able to actually walk that out, to get the wood ready, to lay his son on the altar, to actually start to come down with the knife? I mean, he's about to plunge that through his son's body, and an angel appears last minute. The only reason Abraham could do that was because he trusted God. You know why Abraham could leave in Genesis 12 and just go to a place that he didn't know of and leave his family and leave all that he knew behind that was comfortable? Because he trusted God. And I see so many times, Linda, and people that I deal with, that God wants to get them into things and they just lack in the trusting area. It's not that they're bad people, and that's certainly not the case with you, but there's things that he wants to get you into that you don't even realize how good they are, but you can't get into them trusting because it's going to take faith. It's going to take a stepping out. So, Father, I thank you for that boldness for her. I thank you for that encouragement for her. And Father, help her. Lord, you love her so much. You love her so much. We thank you. Be big in her life and be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Let's just keep praising him. I'll unhook when I have to. If you have to leave, just quietly dismiss yourself. Praise God. We bless you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. The one thing I refuse is to put on a show or to try to make something happen. But when there's a check to close the service, we have to obey that. So we worship you, Father. We bless you. You have to understand my position up here in this whole thing. Last Wednesday in South Dayton, we had a service that was for the ages, you know, just a deliverance service. But it started by me speaking a word of knowledge to a woman that I've only met her a couple times in the service. The woman that I told the Lord put around my heart, and then I asked her if I could minister to her. Her name is Amy, and she came up, and I said, Amy, I don't know what this means, but God just said he wants to turn some things around. And when I said that, she smiled and closed her eyes. Like, I said, do you know what that means? And she said, yes. Well, that turned into be ministering to another guy in the church, then ministering to another couple. And so you can help me along in this just by being engaged in faith and worship and just believing God for his highest and best, because I don't try to drag the service on or try to make things happen. If we did that, we'd fall flat on our face, and we'd know it. So let's just keep worshiping him. And if there's more, great. If not, we've already received so much tonight. We worship you, Father. We praise you. He's calling people higher. He's calling people higher. Do something you've never done before and watch yourself get something that you've never got before. People look at Pastor Mike and they say, I want to receive like he gets. Do what I do. I want to get something like that woman did. Do what she did. Step out of your comfort zone. Come up higher. Yes, thank you, Father. We love you tonight. We praise your holy name. Father, we're looking forward to Saturday. We are in so much expectation of these meetings. We are anticipating great things. Father, I hope you have a lot of blessings because we're hungry. And you said you'd fill the hungry ones. We're all hungry. We're ready to be changed, to be different. So, Father, we thank you. We worship you. We praise you tonight. We bless your holy, holy name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you Saturday. Love you.